This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Listen to us on KPFK, KPFA, and other Pacifica affiliates, and watch us on Free Speech TV Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. FSTV is on Dish Network, DirecTV, and Roku. If you're confused about the latest Clinton email scandal, it's because it is the third one since the Democrats' campaign started. And unrelated to the earlier two scandals, almost, emails exchanged between Hillary Clinton and her campaign staffer Huma Abedin were found on computers seized by the FBI from Abedin's estranged husband and former New York Congressman Anthony Weiner over his alleged misconduct. FBI Director James Comey, in a highly unusual step, revealed the existence of the email correspondence and the investigation over it between Abedin and Clinton just days before the election. While the political ramifications of his revelations are big, there's also the matter of keeping FBI investigations confidential and also the sharing of data between investigations that are quite different. Marcy Wheeler is an independent journalist specializing in civil liberties, privacy, and the war on terror. She blogs at mtwheel.net, and she's been covering the story. Welcome to the show, Marcy.
Thanks for having me, Sonali.
So I was trying to keep it straight as well. It's very complicated. Many different, three different email scandals. The one that came up just before this was the WikiLeaks emails, the revelations that were basically emails from John Podesta, Clinton's campaign head. But the one that was before it was the issue of Clinton having her own private email server that was not properly secured while she was Secretary of State. Is this third and latest email scandal in any way related to these first two?
Well, it is allegedly related to the first one.
Right.
That one was officially an investigation, not into Hillary operating her own email server. It was an investigation into whether she or any of her aides had improperly handled classified information. So that had been referred by an IG last year, and the FBI investigated whether or not in operating her own server, which was a violation of Federal Records Act, but that law doesn't have any teeth to it, whether by operating her own server, she was exposing classified information to hackers or foreign governments or what have you. Or even Americans who didn't have clearance. And in July, DOJ decided not to charge anybody in that, just because the standards, no one's really been prosecuted for doing what Hillary has done. But in doing that, Comey made a very inappropriate speech. Normally, when somebody's not charged with something, at the most, you say, not charged. And instead, he gave a speech saying that she and her aides were exceptionally reckless with their email, basically condemning her, which is not his job, but saying that she wasn't legally guilty or couldn't be charged. And then that followed a bunch of congressional testimony by him and the FBI releasing all these files. And then in August, the FBI in the Weiner is alleged to have sexted with a 15-year-old. So that's where that investigation comes from.
Entry point was a different entry point, and they just happened to stumble upon this correspondence between Abedin and Clinton because Abedin has been married to Weiner?
Right. So they have a warrant, or they had a warrant in August to access these devices to look for communications between him and underage women, and in the process found a bunch of emails from Abedin. They knew of the investigation. They started, as they say, or as reports based on FBI leaks say, they started looking at the metadata. Now, I'd like to have some FBI agents under oath to prove that that's all they looked at. And then in October, the FBI, this ended up being just last week, the FBI went and got a warrant for the Abedin emails so that they can go back to, now, on paper, they're saying that they want to go back and look at the Aberdeen emails in conjunction with the classified information investigation. But there's actually another investigation into Clinton, which, you know, get used to it, because if she becomes president, that will be true for at least the next 4 years. But the other investigation is in the Clinton Foundation. And the FBI, for a year, they've been investigating whether the Clinton Foundation has been involved in inappropriate influence peddling. According to reports, they haven't had much evidence, but the FBI, being the FBI, has continued to conduct that investigation. They were told they couldn't use the emails from the classified information investigation because those were given immunity deals. The warrant that they just got, the information that they just legally accessed for Aberdeen, won't have that kind of immunity deal. So I suspect one of the things we're going to have, they're going to look at those emails, they're going to see whether there's any evidence of classified information. But I suspect the thing we're going to hear, say, about November 27th is that the FBI has started looking in them for the Clinton Foundation investigation.
I see.
Just because that's the way the FBI rolls.
So the FBI, in linking these two different sources for email correspondence, is covering itself because it got a warrant to look at the actual data rather than the metadata from Wiener's computers?
Well, we shall see. Aberdeen will never have an opportunity to challenge. I mean, actually, she could right now say, I'm going to challenge the basis of your warrant. But normally, you don't get to challenge a warrant unless you're charged and the evidence is used against you. There have been a number of more hawkish lawyers than me say, you know, should they even be able to say they found these emails via this investigation? Some lawyers are saying, look, they shouldn't even intake any emails that aren't clearly from Wiener, and they did in this case. Others are saying that because it is almost unbelievable that FBI agents would be looking at the metadata and basically see a crime, then there shouldn't be any basis for them to access these emails in that case. So it's unclear whether Aberdeen will ever have a chance to challenge their using the Wiener investigation to get at more emails. But there are real questions about the propriety of that.
Right. I mean, it seems as though anything that was found on those computers that might have been used by, you know, a friend or another family member ought to be off limits. All right. So how about the inappropriateness of James Comey then revealing this publicly? I thought FBI investigations, while the investigations are in process, are supposed to remain secret. Anytime any journalist who's ever tried to get the FBI to admit if they're even investigating somebody, forget about the details of that investigation, is usually not even, you know, it's not even acknowledged that there's an investigation happening.
Well, if you and I were friendlier to the FBI, I think we'd be getting a ton of leaks right now, but that's not the way we roll. And so there are two moments when Jim Comey did something really inappropriate. The first was when he made this announcement in July. That shouldn't have been done. And I think that set up what he did on Friday, because, you know, he made the announcement, then he agreed to testify, then he agreed to release all of these materials. None of that should have happened. He did it. But by Friday, you know, either he was in the position to say, no, you can't get a warrant for these emails that you think have to do with this crime, or he was in the position of keeping it quiet. And if he had done that, then his agents, because there are journalists who are much more friendly to the FBI than you and I, these agents have been leaking like sieves for a year. I mean, throughout this entire investigation, they've been updating partisan forces and journalists about, you know, the day-to-day happening or the pressure that they're trying to place on Comey and others to expand the investigation. And so he's, you know, he's right on that point. It's very clear that had he not written to Congress and said, you know, we're taking a new step in this investigation, it would immediately have been leaked to Fox News, and then it would be an even bigger scandal. But the problem is, you know, in the same way that the FBI director is not supposed to give these expansive descriptions of what happened on a case if they don't charge it, FBI agents, you know, they may not leak to you and I, but they're not supposed to leak to anybody. And they've been just leaking profusely for the course of this investigation. And so Jim Comey's job should have been to shut down all that leaking. And in shutting down that leaking, to alleviate the pressure on the on both him and people at the DOJ, including career prosecutors, to make the decisions based on the law and the guidelines rather than just the need to go out and go after Hillary Clinton and find something.
And in the end, it was he himself who, in a public format and forum, revealed inappropriately that there was this new angle to this investigation. So just days before the election, it was basically like he poured fuel onto the Republicans' fire. Could this have an impact on the election?
My opinion is Hillary's support has not gone down. There may be evidence that people are less enthusiastic of voting. But we're seeing so many polls and so many conflicting stories of the polls. What is happening is that Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate, his support is declining, and Trump's is tightening. His is getting closer to Hillary's. But I think that's because of Johnson. I don't think it's because of Comey. So in other words, you're going to hear a lot of people saying, oh my gosh, Jim Comey affected the election. But I think the reality is just that every time a third party candidate runs, those supporters tend to come back and support the main party candidate in the end. And I think that's what's going on. I think that you'll hear a lot of buzz about it in the next couple of weeks. And I think that Jim Comey's under a lot of really deserved pressure, and that's good. People who want to protect the DOJ's reputation for, whether it's worthwhile or not. But I'm hoping, and I don't think it's going to have a huge effect on the election. I think, I think there are other things that are more important on the election right now than Jim Comey.
Getting back to that for just a minute, what about the role of Attorney General Loretta Lynch? She was under scrutiny for meeting inappropriately on an airport tarmac with Bill Clinton while the investigation about the first email scandal was still in the works. Are Lynch and Comey playing on different teams, it seems, this time?
I don't think either of them. Well, okay. I don't think Comey is playing on any team except kind of self-preservation Comey or self-righteous, self-righteous Jim Comey PR guy. Lynch may be playing on the Democrats team. And, there were also reports that she wanted to stay on as attorney general. I think that was highly inappropriate, the meeting on the tarmac with Bill. But I also think there's this inclination among Comey partisans to excuse his first statement by saying, oh, he was just helping Loretta Lynch out of a bind. And I think they're ignoring the fact, and, it may have helped Lynch out of a bind, although I doubt it. I mean, what fundamentally should have happened after that Lynch thing is she should have recused Sally Yates, who is the deputy attorney general, should have been making the only public statements from that point forward. That didn't happen, but that could have happened. And Comey made sure it didn't happen. So I think that, in truth, Comey made that statement because he really wants people to love him. He really wants people to believe he's the world's biggest Boy Scout. And so he made that announcement more for his and the FBI's own good, without thinking about the consequences and without thinking about how much it was going to discredit the FBI in the end.
Marcy, let's also talk about the hypocrisy of these leaks from the FBI. We have seen, particularly under the Obama administration, a very overzealous prosecution of whistleblowers and even journalists who have used information from whistleblowers in ways that have really seemed to violate freedom of the press and the right of the press to protect their sources. However, when it serves them, those in power seem to be able to leak all over the place and not face any consequences.
Right. I mean, it was funny because I got into a discussion with DOJ's former press guy, Matthew Miller, and he's like, the FBI didn't used to leak like this. And then I reminded him that in the anthrax investigation in 2004, a bunch of DOJ and FBI people leaked, ruined Stephen Hatfield's life. He had to sue to get some kind of settlement for DOJ having done that. But the people responsible for those leaks, and these were really important leaks, no discipline as far as we know. So in other words, like, there's a long history of FBI getting away with these leaks. And yeah, these are the same people who spend their lives investigating whistleblowers and journalists and other leakers. This investigation into Hillary was about inappropriate handling of classified information. And over the course of it, scores of FBI employees and probably DOJ employees have inappropriately handled sensitive, if not classified, information themselves. So at some point, you know, we're rolling down a steep hill I don't know how we get out of this situation. Right. I don't know who puts order to FBI. And the really important thing to remember is, you know, Huma Abedin, Hillary Clinton, yeah, what the FBI is doing with them is highly inappropriate. But remember that stuff like this happens with people who don't have the power and don't have the visibility that Hillary Clinton does. And so, and that's why we need to use this opportunity to really bring pressure to change it, because there are thousands of defendants who get mistreated or have their stories leaked by the FBI all the time, and they're never going to get hearings in Congress about that.
The other aspect of this is also that there are so many real things to criticize about Hillary Clinton. If you are if you are troubled by the kind of presidential candidate she is, just her coziness to Wall Street, her penchant for war, the fact that she was on the board of Walmart. There are so many criticisms one can make of Hillary Clinton. It seems as though this email scandal is the least of them. And then you compare it to the kinds of things that Trump is under scrutiny for, including a lawsuit that was filed by a woman who says she was raped by him when she was 13 years old. And it just seems like even setting aside the impropriety of the FBI and James Comey, that this email scandal ought not to be the biggest thing dogging Hillary Clinton, right?
Right. I mean, the email scandal is real. Contrary to what a lot of Democrats believe, Hillary, you know, she said it was just for convenience, but there's enough evidence out there that makes it clear that she also wanted complete control over her own records. And you're not supposed to have that as a federal employee. So there is that real aspect to it. She was trying to avoid the Federal Records Act. She was trying to avoid FOIA. She was trying to avoid losing control of her own records.
Right. And, but I mean, it's not as much an issue of immorality as it's painted out to be.
Well, I mean, the other thing is that it happens with every presidential administration. So if this is a problem, and it is, it's a governance problem, and Congress should write the law such that the Federal Records Act has real teeth, so that the next time it happens, and it may well be the Hillary Clinton administration, then somebody is going to face some punishment for it. But you're right. I mean, you know, Hillary, everyone's like, oh, Donald Trump is an incredibly dangerous person. But Hillary's own history, not just the fact that she spouts off, her own history is pretty dangerous as far as foreign policy, because she has been tied to pretty much every ill-conceived illegal war that the United States has been in. But the press isn't going to cover that. I mean, unfortunately, the press serves as cheerleader for those kinds of things and has a really hard time. I mean, you know, there's this big smear campaign going on about a bunch of journalists who covered a conference in Syria in the last couple of days and did an interview with Assad. And one of them did a story and said, well, you know, the Syrian civil war is the most devastating war in this young century. And I'm like, you know, the Iraq war. And it's like our press has simply forgotten about how devastating the Iraq war is and how devastating the Libyan war and Afghanistan, you know, that's all disappeared. And so I think that's the other reason why the focus on Clinton is emails rather than things like foreign policy or ties to banks, because the press isn't very critical about those things.
Marcy, is mtwheel.net the best place to read your writings?
Absolutely, and I'm at mtwheel on Twitter.
We'll post links to those from our website later today. Thank you, as always, for joining us.
Thanks so much.
My guest is Marcy Wheeler, independent journalist specializing in civil liberties, privacy, and the war on terror. She blogs at emptywheel.net. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can sign up for our newsletter at risingupwithsonali.com to get daily emails with links to all our stories.